Like landmarks across the West Midlands are being turned orange this evening.
Sometimes when you're out and about, there are certain landmarks that make you smile. Lord Hill is somebody I salute. If I am running past or if I'm driving or anything like that, I feel like I have an affinity with him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Ever since I walked up and kind of went, I can't see him from here.
A view not many people have had.
It was wonderful.
Brilliant. I bet it was.
Now it costs £40,000 to keep somebody in prison for a year. Could that money be spent to help them in a different way? James Caro Rice is a restorative justice campaigner, a therapist, a public speaker, and an author.
Well, I'm 57 years old. My life completely changed, almost like a miracle, 35 years ago, during a prison sentence where I was doing therapy. I went there violent, very confused, but desperate for an answer. I was either going to die or find an answer. It was really that simple. And I became the driving force of the whole therapeutic community. Since then, I've spent my life helping people, writing books, speaking all over the world. I've raised three daughters to be graduates, and now I've got four grandsons, and I live a great life, I live a good life.
Tell me what you went in for, if you don't mind, and what your life was like before the sentence.
My family disintegrated when I was about 13 years old, which meant it was already disintegrating before then. I was very clever academically and very good at sports. And then I ran away from home just to get away from them, and it seemed like more fun on the streets with all my mates, you know. And, of course, it just leads to more and more trouble. And I didn't realise at that age, you know, once you start getting in trouble, it's like barbed wire slowly wrapping itself around your legs. You just can't get away. And I ended up in Borstal. I was supposed to be there for 8 months. I was there for 2 years.
Is that because you kept reoffending?
I was just so bad in there. You know, I just wouldn't listen to the staff. I used to threaten them, and I'd fight with the guys.
But somebody must have believed in you.
Oh, yeah. What happened was, I did try and go straight then, and it's then that you realise you're really very, very dysfunctional. You know, life's passing you by. You know, I got out of one prison centre, straight back in again. I was so shocked. When I went to Grendon eventually, I fought my way to get some help, and Grendon is a therapeutic prison. It really shocked me that they didn't want me. They said, oh, no, we can't have you. You're just too bad. I mean, and the place is full of murderers, you know.
Mm.
And I was like, what? You know, I just couldn't believe it. And I'll never forget this doctor. His name is Dr. Wickman Singh. He's an old Indian who wore a little dicky bow. And he believed in me, you know. And him and another doctor said, we'd like to give you an opportunity. And I nearly fell through the floor. I can believe it, you know. Mm-hmm. So given the chance, I took it with both hands and really went for it.
So you were offered therapy. Mm. What else? What else turned you round and put you back on your feet?
I think the realisation that I'd created myself, you know, like a persona. I'd created a personality that was completely false from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I sat in a wing meeting one day and I was talking to everyone. And everyone thought I was doing well. I said, you know, none of you know me. Nobody knows who I am. I said, I know who I am on the inside, but I just haven't I've got the guts to be that person, you know. And I made it my endeavour to break the shell. What I didn't realise was that once you break that shell, there's like a life force inside of us that it just came up. And I was just never the same again. In fact, I was so vastly different. it was off the chart.
That's James Carrier Rice, who has the experience of offending, going through prison after prison and being given an opportunity. So should that model exist today? And how do you do it? And when you offend, are you given a tag that you wear for life where it's hard to get out of the cycle? He asks a lot of really important questions. Maybe you have experience. Maybe you have something to add to it. We're going to hear more from James after 5 o'clock. Now, we heard from James Caro Rice a little earlier on. He spent his 20s in and out of different prisons for different offences, but somebody gave him a chance and he took it with both hands. So the question he's asking all of us is, do prisoners deserve the tag for life, or is there another way?
You have to keep persevere with them, you know. That's what we do with sick people, even though they go back and smoke again or drink again or gamble again or get fat all over again. But we don't do that with people who break the law. And in fact, when I say packages like the one that you've seen, you know, for people who come out of prison, you know, why doesn't the community help them in some way, you know, get a haircut or something? I mean, this is the minimum they need, you know. people still say, oh, yeah, we don't want to give criminals things like that. So immediately the thing that people are saying is, well, you've done your sentence, you paid the price, but we're still going to call you a criminal. It's a continuing punishment. It just goes on forever. It's a very sort of condemning attitude in the press and everything. It must be hard as you can on prisoners. Hard, hard. And every time somebody comes up with an innovation which would help the person who's committed the crime, which you have to do, which helps any future victims, because they're not going to do any more crime, this is better for the community, it's better for everybody. The minute you mention it, what do they do? Oh, look at the money being spent here, and could it be spent better anywhere else? At the moment, we quite happily spend £40,000 per year per prisoner. So you can't stop this juggernaut overnight, but somebody somewhere possibly has got to say, well, let's draw a line at the age of 24. Anybody coming to court who's never been in a prison before, if possible, let's look at other ways of dealing with them. Let's put them in therapy. Let's make sure, like, for instance, if one guy, he persists in his ways and he's violent and he won't say no, well, we'll keep him in. But what about the guy who wants to get well and responds to therapy or wants to make restitution, wants to say sorry to the community in which he lives? He should be able to get on. But when you put everyone in the same boat and you just condemn them all, you know, it's very difficult for someone to dig their way out of that. You know, the vast majority of people I've ever met who've been in trouble, they don't like what they've done. They're ashamed. And they'd love to wipe the slate clean and they'd love a fresh start, you know.
What's the chance of this happening?
Well, there's lots of things going on, but they all find themselves up against this whole mentality. There's a course called Challenge for Change, and they take over a wing of a prison. And what they do on that wing is they say, well, there's blood tests every week, so you can't take drugs. So they don't. And they do therapy. And they hold each other accountable for their behaviour. And they face up to what they've done. They make restitution. They apologise to people. They learn about relationships and everything. All the adjudications, which are sort of offences within the prison, disappears on their wing completely. No discipline needed. No thefts. Nothing goes on. And the recidivism from them comes down. I worked with this group and we spent a huge amount of money proving scientifically that it works before the Home Office, and that's why it became accredited. But nobody listens to them. It doesn't cost any more to do that program than it does to keep someone in jail. In Grendon, one of the greatest findings in Grendon was not just a lack of recidivism, much lower than ever before. But the other thing was, if they did commit crime, it was much less serious than ever before. And that was the more concrete thing, you know. So you get someone who's in for sort of assaulted somebody, well, next time he might get caught pinching a Lemsip in Tesco's or something, you know. Big difference.
Well, that's James Carey Rice. Yeah, posing questions that I found challenging myself. I wonder if you have too, because he's been in that situation where things got worse and worse and worse, but he hadn't noticed it until he was in a cycle where he went, I don't know how to get out, and I've been labelled, and I don't know what to do next. And he's saying, well, £40,000 a year to keep somebody in prison, what if we spent that money giving them a chance and helping them out? And what responsibility do the community have for saying, do you know, we'll wash your clothes, what about a haircut, what about changing the way you do things? Is it a care package that we should be offering people coming out of prison to stop them reoffending? Maybe that's you. Maybe it's something that you've experienced. Maybe somebody gave you a helping hand. Maybe you think, actually, why should we? I'd love to know your experiences, particularly on what James was talking about there. If you want to get in touch, 81333, and just start your message with the word shop.